Awesome. Well, good morning. How about we quickly just give this time to God and let's just quickly give it to Him. Heavenly Father, we just give You so much thanks that we can be here this morning. And we all just thank You just for this beautiful day, and we praise You for that. But we just pray as we're here this morning, Lord, that You can just open our hearts and minds just as we hear this message, a challenging message. And I just pray also just for myself as, a little bit nervous this morning. We just pray that You can just speak with me as well and speak through me. Use me as Your vessel. We pray for this in Your name. Amen. So, yeah, a little bit nervous about this one because this is a pretty challenging one. When I saw what this message was about, I was like, oh, no. I don't know how I'm going to go with this. But it's a really great and challenging one. So we're going to continue our series on what Jesus didn't say. So a lot of you probably that are new this morning, you're probably thinking, why are we talking about what Jesus didn't say? I thought we'd come to church and hear what He did say. But there's something really incredible when we look at what Jesus didn't say and then compare it to what He did say. So the world might say this, but this is what Jesus says. And it can be really challenging and provoking and all thought-provoking, but really profound when we actually hear, and it brings new sort of excitement to what He actually does say, and new energy and all those different things. So we're starting this new series. We've already done Jesus Didn't Say, Do Whatever Makes You Happy. Luke had preached 2 weeks ago on Do Whatever Jesus Didn't Say, You Don't Need Forgiveness, I think it is, or You Don't Need to Forgive Them. Today, we're talking about something else. But before I do that, let me just quickly say a couple of things that Jesus didn't say just for a bit of fun. So whoever does the will of God, you will never have anyone in front of you at the line of boffy. So when you're there, if you do the will of God, no one will be in front of you. It's going to be a good time. Whoever seeks me first will get the best parking spot at Charlestown Square. Jesus didn't say that. Whoever tells others the good news will be given a cheese and bacon pie. Jesus did not say that either. Whoever does the will of God will win the lottery. Jesus doesn't say that either. Jesus also doesn't say whoever pronounces the kingdom of God will have skills like Lionel Messi or Jonathan Thurston. Jesus never promised that you'll always be healthy. You'd always have perfect relationships, or you'd always be wealthy. So what we're going to look at today is Jesus didn't say that you won't have bad days. You won't have bad days. And we're going to look at what Jesus did say now in John 16, which Sue just read for us. What we see in John 16 is kind of like the final instructions Jesus sort of tells the disciples before He's sort of on the way to the cross. And we see in John 16 sort of those instructions. Then John 17, we see it's actually one of my favorite parts of Scripture. It's this beautiful prayer that Jesus sort of says for the disciples and for believers today. It's just amazing. So if you've got your Bibles there, if you want to open up to John 16 and follow along, we'd love to have you do that with me. So we see in John 16, verse 20, you'll weep and mourn while the world rejoices. He doesn't say you're not going to have bad days. He says straight there, you'll weep and you'll mourn while the world rejoices. In this speech, Jesus gives this sort of a phrase, the world, 19 times. We see through this instructions and also in this prayer that He sort of says to us. 19 times, one of them we see in John 16:33, we see, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Then we then get to John 17:6, I have revealed to you to whom you gave me out of the world. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. We see that in verse 9. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one with me. We see that in verse 11. And then verse 14, I have given them the word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And it goes on and on, the world, the world, the world. But what we see here is the world hates them because they don't belong to it. As I do not belong to the world. we see this just repeated and repeated and repeated. It doesn't say you aren't going to have bad days. It says that we are. It says that life is hard. That key verse, I guess, in John 16:20, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. But your grief will turn to joy. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But I was just thinking about all this, and I was thinking about just all these different things that happened in my life. Last year was a big year for Liv and I, and I know a lot of other people in this church. But I always kept on reflecting back at Paul. And I know if you remember that in 2 Corinthians 11, I might turn to that now, just because this just pulled my head in a bit. It's good. Where are we? Here we are. So I don't know if you've read this part in 2 Corinthians 11. I think I shared this actually earlier in the year. But we see Paul, he's talking to the Corinthian church, and they're boasting about how good they are, and they're going through all these hardships, but they're just so amazing and all these different things. And then Paul goes along and says, you know what? If you're going to boast about all your hardships and all these sort of things and just try and make yourself this sort of big and high and mighty sort of thing, I'm going to boast. So he goes on, he says, never has anyone been in prison more, been exposed to death. 5 times I received 40 lashes plus minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger of false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold, and I've been naked. I don't know if you're just looking at that list, but you're just like, far out, like, that is just insane. Like, he just copped it, and he copped it, and he knew exactly what a bad day was, Paul. And then we get to the early church, and we actually see under the early church, you had Nero, who was this emperor who was just terrible to Christians. Like, he persecuted them. One of his parties, he used to, like, hang Christians up on crosses and use them as lanterns, light them on fire. Like, it was not a good time. Like, they knew what bad days were back then. Then you had Domitian, you had Hadrian, you had all these emperors that were just, like, Christians. They're the scum of the earth. We need to get rid of these guys. We need to get rid of them. Nero, I think, like, blamed the great fire of Rome on the Christians. They did anything they could just to bring Christians down. Over and over and over. You can look them up. There's stories upon stories upon stories upon stories upon stories of just what happened to the early church. But it was this beautiful thing that the church continued to grow and people came to faith and learnt the good news. John 16:4 says, Jesus says, don't say I didn't warn you. He sort of gets in and says, you know what? Yeah, you're going to have bad days. Don't say, oh, Jesus, you didn't tell us we're going to have these bad days. He does right there. He says, look, you're going to have bad days. These are things that are going to come into your life. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. Today, there's so many people in our church that are struggling in relationships, that are maybe going through health issues. We just prayed before over a few people that are struggling, still recovering at the moment. Some people are struggling with work. Some with finances, all these different things. We have bad days. I don't have to tell you that. You can tell me that. We all have bad days. Some of us this morning are feeling left out, overlooked, rejected, and alone. We're struggling. Some of us here are saying, where is God in all this? How can this be happening? I don't get it. I read my Bible, I pray. But I just feel knock after knock after knock after knock. And it hurts. I'm over it. Where do I go? What do I do? Jesus, where are you? I don't know if you've been watching the news and you see, like, when a natural disaster comes and there's people that are walking around, their hands in the air, just saying, what's happened? Just trying to get their head around it, like they've just lost everything. And it's just like, where are you, God? I don't know if I believe you. I don't know if you're real. But if you are, I don't know if I like you. Because this sucks. Life is hard. They're asking why. Why did this happen? Where are you? If there is a God, He is cruel, and I don't like him. Jesus doesn't say we're going to have bad days. In 1 Peter 5:8, we see this verse where it talks about how the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And we talked about this actually at youth group when we talked about fear and anxiety on Friday night. But I think this is a good verse just for today, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion trying to devour its prey, or looking to devour its prey. And when it comes to bad days, I think we can look at that and see that verse that bad things don't come from God. I strongly believe that. But the devil's on the lookout all the time, waiting for us when we're vulnerable or when things are going well. He's going to jump in and say, I'm going to give this guy a knockback or this girl a knockback. And we see this verse in 1 Peter 5:8 that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. I don't know if you know much about lions, but lions are an apex predator. If you don't know what an apex predator is, basically an apex predator is the top of the food chain. Like, nothing eats the lion. Nothing takes on the lion except maybe people. But they're an apex predator in the wild. And when they roar, things run. They're like, I'm getting away. There's a lion on the loose. It's not going to be a good time. And we see that same image here, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion waiting to devour its prey. Life is hard. Life sucks sometimes, doesn't it? Like I said, I don't need to tell you that. But at the same time, we've got a God that loves us and is there for us. And we're going to talk about that in a sec. But I just want to talk about one more thing before that. We see in Psalm 40, I don't know if you love your Psalms. I love Psalms. I'm getting more and more into Psalms and more I mature in my faith. But Psalm 42 has always been one that jumps out at me. And I'm just going to quickly read that for us now. But basically, Psalm 42, it's this beautiful psalm. A lot of you would know it. There's songs written about it. It's just beautiful. And it starts off, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. How beautiful is that to start? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my flood day and night. Just that powerful language. My tears have been my flood day and night. While men say to me all day long, where is your God? Some of us might be feeling that now. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with multiple leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, my soul? Maybe you're feeling that now. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember from the land of Jordan and the heights of Hermon. From Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Just that powerful language again. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Some of us might be feeling that now. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why is so disturbed within me? Be your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. What a way to finish. This psalmist, this is written by the Sons of Korah, which is a group that sort of wrote all these different songs about psalms. You can read tons of them. They're beautiful, powerful poetry. It's just incredible. I love them so much, and they really talk to me. I love to actually draw these sort of poems out. I think they're beautiful to draw. But this psalm knows who God is and talks about his deliverance, that he's his rock, that he knows exactly who God is. God, you have taken me out of the lands. You have saved me. I know exactly who you are. I know how powerful you are. But right now, life sucks. Right now, I'm depressed, I'm lonely, and I feel forgotten. Right now, life is just so hard, and I don't know how I'm going to keep going. My friends are yelling at me, telling me, where is your God when all this is happening? I just feel Job in this story, right? You see Job, he's sitting there, he's lost everything, yet he is so faithful, and his mates are sitting there like, man, where's your God? Like, come on, mate. Are you serious? How can you let this happen? Like, how can you have a loving God if this is happening to you? This sucks. This is hard. And right here we see that language, except I love how most laments, there's one or two that don't, but most laments are always finish off with that beautiful sort of a, but I will praise him, my Savior and my God. There's that end of just joy and saying, look, no, God, yeah, life sucks, but I know you're in control. I know you've got my back. You're with me. We sung that beautiful song, Another in the Fire, right? And we're seeing that there's another in the fire with us, even though we're going through this hardship, even though when we're depressed, we're alone, we're forgotten, life is hard, there's another in the fire with us. Holding it back. Holding back those waters when the waves come in and we're just like, I just don't know how I'm going to put up with this. There's another there holding back those waves. And I guess what I really want to get at today is that God is with us, right? Even in these hard times. And I've still got a bit of a message here, but I think I'm just going to put it away for a sec because I think I need to talk about something. I think that's God's got this on my heart. So at the moment, I don't know how much you know about what happened to Liv and I had a hard year last year. Like, we just felt like day after day, we just got flogged. One after another, felt like a bad day. Monday, bad day. Tuesday, bad day. Wednesday starts off a good day, then at the end of the day, it's a bad day. And we just felt hit after hit after hit after hit. And we looked at each other so many times, it's like, how can we just keep going on? This sucks. There were some nights we just couldn't sleep because it was like, Ace, how do we just keep going? Where are you, God? Are you serious? Like, we're here doing ministry for you. Like, yeah, we're here for you. Why is this happening to us? And there was times we wanted to throw the towel in and say, look, let's just get away and just not go back. Just keep driving. I don't know if you've ever felt like that before. Let's just jump in a car and just go and just forget about everything. And I think now, instead of sharing the rest of the message I've prepared through the week, is I think it'd be good just to share a couple of verses that really kept us going through the year. Because life does suck sometimes. And just give me a sec because I haven't got any tabs or anything. But I write my prayers and my verses in the back of my Bible, so it's good to have a sheet if you want to. I staple this in. But I guess James 1 was a big one for me. I don't know if you've read James 1 before. James is a beautiful book. It's just amazing. But it starts off about talking about trials and perseverance. And we go through these hardships in life. Life gets hard, as we've just already talked about multiple times just then. But in those times, we get perseverance, right? When we go hard, if you go to the gym, we've got a gym ministry here. If you're not going there, try and get in there and enjoy that. But enjoy those community. Except when you go to the gym, I don't know if you've ever done a big gym session or a marathon or whatever it is, but the next day it hurts, right? You're sore, it's a struggle. And I don't know if you know how that works, but each time you do a workout, sort of it's ripping your muscles. So your muscles are getting stronger and then it heals itself and it continues to grow and get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's the same thing when it comes to trials. James 1 talks about trials, hardship, life is hard. But in that, our faith gets stronger, we mature in our faith, and we persevere. Life gets not easier, but we learn how to deal with it a bit more because we know Jesus is with us. It doesn't mean it's going to get easier. But we get skills, we learn life experiences where we know how to work in those sort of a times. God is with us in those times. Another verse that jumps out at me in that is, I think it's in 1 Peter. Give me a second again. Bear with me. 1 Peter 1, 6-7. Talks about a similar thing. It's about through those burdens and those hardships, God is with us and it helps us mature in our faith. I don't know if you've read that, but it talks about sort of a furnace and refining gold. And like when you first see gold, it's rough. It's got rocks all through it. Like, it's not real nice. Like, you wouldn't really see it very valuable at all. But when you refine it, it gets this beautiful thing that you turn into rings or whatever you want to do. And through those hardships and the rough parts, God refines it into this beautiful bit of gold. And that's what our faith is, which is awesome. Another verse we see in Philippians. Give me a sec again. But Philippians 4:6, and that talks about prayer. And this one was probably one of the cornerstone verses for Liv and I through the year. And it talks about how in Philippians 4:6 that don't worry about anything. And you're probably sitting there like, are you serious? Like, of course I'm going to worry about stuff. But don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Whenever hardships come up, whenever there's struggles, we need to give it to God. There's so many times we dwell on it, don't we? I did that all last year. I was just like, oh man, are you serious? Like, another one, another one, another one, another one, another one. Yet God tells us that don't worry about that. I've got this. I'm next to you. I'm in the fire with you. I'm in those huge oceans with those waves rolling in. I'm next to you. I'm holding your hand. Pray about this. Speak to me about this. Open your heart to me. Just like we just saw in that psalm, the sons of Korah, they're writing it out and they're saying, God, you're amazing. We know what you can do. But man, this sucks. Lord, be with me. I praise you. I love you. Be with me in these hard times. Because life sucks sometimes. And we need to remember that key verse, I guess, in Philippians 4, of don't worry about everything, but pray about everything. We need to be prayers. Like, in our church, I think prayer is a hard thing we just really struggle with. This last year, we started a prayer group. If you're not in that, through Messenger, it's an awesome app. It's fantastic. Make sure you get onto that. However, there's something beautiful when the church comes together, right? God says, when two or three come together in my name, I'll hear them and I'll listen to them. We need to be a church that's praying in our hardship. I love in our church that we come together at the start of the service and we give thanks together and we pray together. How beautiful is that? Not many churches do that together. And even Luca came up to me 2 weeks ago when he was preaching. He's just like, mate, how good is that at the start of your service, how you guys give thanks together? Everyone feels so safe and they pray together and they give up their concerns, their worries, and they give it to God and they give it to their community, and you guys are there for each other. He's like, I wish I had that at my church. I wish I had that at my church. We are so lucky to be in a church that loves each other so much that we feel so safe and we trust each other that we can give our concerns to each other and bear each other's burdens. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Hopefully we never lose that. But I guess today, I really want you to know that whenever you have these worries, whenever you're going through that hard time, when you're in the valley, when you're on the mountain, whatever that might be to you, that in everything, pray. Pray to God. Give it to God. Read your Bible. Whatever you need to do, it's so important that is the time when it's most important to have your relationship with God, right? In those struggles. I know one of my mates, he's not a Christian. He always says, oh, Christianity is just a crutch. Christianity is just a crutch. And I always say to him, well, yeah, I guess in some ways, yeah, it is a crutch. But what have you got if you don't have that? And yeah, obviously it's more than a crutch. Like, it's Jesus came and saved our sins. You guys know what we believe. But Jesus is there walking by us in those hard times, loving us, caring for us, and he wants us to have a good life. He tells us in John 16 that he is there and he is rejoicing with us in those battles when we win. He is with us the whole time. I guess the last bit I'd probably want to talk about as well, that also kept us going through the year, I think it's probably a good segue actually, from what we just talked about, is we see in Hebrews 10 and Galatians that Jesus, the importance of community. So the importance of community, that you see in Hebrews 10, that we are to spur each other on as the day approaches. We are to spur each other on. What does that mean? So, you know, if you're running a race, do you feel better when there's someone saying, yeah, go, 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 you can make it? Or do you feel it's not quite as nice, isn't it, when you're running along and no one's there to support you? It's a struggle. And you wear down, it gets harder and harder and harder. But when there's someone saying, you've got this, I believe in you, we're here, we're spurring you on, we're encouraging you, we love you, go for it. That's when beautiful things happen, right? That's where we encourage each other, we love each other. And we just talked about that with Thanksgiving, that we thank God. Like, we've got people who have just gone through big surgeries. We're thanking them for the recoveries they're going through. It's so good to have Jackie this morning. We see these beautiful stories, and we need to be spurring each other on. That's why it's so important to come to church, be a part of Bible studies, be a part of all these things, because that's where good things happen, right? That's where we spur each other on, say, you know what? Life sucks, but we've got your back. Yeah, finances are hard. We've got your back. Yeah, you're struggling with this health. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to bring a meal over. I'm going to love you as much as I can to help you get through this. That's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, right? We're here. We've got each other's back. We love each other. And we're supporting each other in everything we do. Amen. And then you've got that other beautiful verse in Galatians. I'll stop with this one so I don't hold you just too long, sorry. Carry each other through those burdens. So the same thing. Carry each other through those burdens. We're lifting each other up. You know, I don't know if you like war movies, but when you see someone injured, you've got four people lifting him up on a stretcher and getting him through the battlefield, right? It's the same thing here. When you're going through the battlefield, when there's spiritual war going on, you're struggling, you're getting hits everywhere. You've got a body of believers that love you and are saying, look, mate, it's all right, we're going to get you out of this. We're going to be here to love you, support you, get you through. So I guess at the end of the day, the two things that really got us through last year, even through all those hard times, was our relationship with God and our relationship with our church. Without that, those bad days would have been worse. I know what I would have done if I didn't have my faith last year. I'd hate to think about that. But even in these bad days, when we have our commitment to Jesus and our love for him and our relationship with him, we can talk with him and he's going to be there with us. And when we come to church, when we go to our studies, whatever that might be, when we're with the church through the week, that's where we get that support, that love, that care, right? That's the important thing on these hard days. When it comes to the bad days, remember you have a community that loves you and cares for you. And also a God who's sitting there by your side saying, you've got this. You've got this. Let me quickly pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much. We thank you that even in those hard days when we lose our job, when our health is gone, when our friends are arguing, when our finances are struggling, when we wake up in the morning and we think, how do I get through today? That you're there in the morning tonight saying, I've got your back. I love you. I'm here for you. I am your refuge, your strong tower. I am sitting in the stands cheering you on as you get through that obstacle course. Lord, we just bring this day to you, that this week will be a week, even in those hard times, there's some people sitting here saying, how am I going to get through this week? And Lord, I just really pray right now that you just help them, give them the energy they need, the motivation they need, the strength they need, the wisdom they need to say, whatever that might be, Lord, that you just speak through them and you'll speak life into them as well. That they'll go through this week and know, you know what? God is with me. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Lord, be with us this week as we go through the hardships. But Lord, we also remember the joy in those battles. When we get through the other side, the relief, the excitement, all those things. And we just pray that you'll be there in those celebrations. When we get that new job, when we're healed, when we soften those friendships, that you're there, Lord. That you're there in all those battles. Lord, continue to be with us as we get into this week. Amen. Just give me a sec as I catch up to it where I possibly was.